matter of time, I suppose.
Welcome to Watchmen Minute, where we're discussing the 2009 Zack Snyder film Watchmen, 1 minute at a time. I'm Eric Nash.
I'm Travis Bowe from the Real Comic Heroes podcast.
And I'm Jordan D. White, enemy of the Watchmen film.
Boo!
I'm the heel of the show.
Yeah.
Oh, glad to have you back, though. Anyway, it's all opinions welcome. You know.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
It's very welcoming of you. And again, this is probably the most I've seen of this movie since it came out.
Well, that's why we gave you the best scenes.
Oh, thank you so much. You really changed my mind with your choice.
Well, I think this last minute and a half is certainly we cut to a different scene here. Hmm. But to explain that, though, for minute 114 here, we start with Dan and Lori having an awkward moment and ends with Rorschach greeting Big Figure.
So let's finish up with Dan and Lori. Obviously, as you know, having watched it, everyone, Dan cannot perform sexually. And he goes, I need a minute. Oh, hell. Now that is pretty much direct from, I just need a couple of minutes from the comic. Again, I do feel like the comic is a little, I don't want to say, I mean, I guess it's more of a joke. Is that the right term? It's played a little goofier because they do have, again, the Adrian gymnastics dismount that they're applauding for at the exact moment and da da da. Something I noticed the most recent time I was reading this, I'm sure I probably noticed it at some point before, but it goes on a lot longer, by which I mean he says, I need a couple minutes, and then like we jump forward in time multiple times in the comic. We jump forward later and they're just kind of hanging out, and then the news is on, 11 o'clock news, and then the midnight movie is on, and then they're shutting down the broadcast.
Yeah.
When that used to happen, that's not a thing anymore. And they end up kind of, he's sleeping on the couch, and she tucks him in, and then she like has him bump over so she can sleep there next to him. And she leaves the TV on static while they sleep, which is super weird, but what are you going to do?
Yeah.
The movie kind of sensibly cuts all that down and just shows him not able to perform and then says, all right, that's all you need.
And apparently...
Although, actually, that's not true. Go ahead, you first.
Apparently, it's something that happens to 1 in 4 men under the age of 40. So, you know, Dan doesn't have anything to worry about.
But you know what? But realistically, listen, you know what? Scientifically, you're right. But what happens... culturally, unfortunately, is what happens to Dan, both in the book and the comic, but in different ways. Lori takes it personally, but like she's still trying to be really nice about it.
Oh, yeah.
But she kind of goes, yeah, you know what? Maybe we were moving too fast. Mm-hmm. So there you are. In the comic, it's almost even harsher. While he's sleeping, she says something like, I know how it is when something's not right, which I'm like, aw. Like, that makes it sound like, yeah, you know, if you're not into this, I guess, you know, you're not into this. And he's like, he doesn't defend himself because he's Dan.
Right.
He doesn't say, no, I'm into this.
But sometimes, you know, it can be a little scary. It's like, here's someone that he's, I don't want to say pined after, because we don't know that he's, you know, thought about her much, you know, from their first meeting until now. So, but you know, reconnecting with her, that's got to make him, you know, a little intimidated. And then he's got, I think in this, like, I think I mentioned that they don't talk about the mask killer, but I think it's going through his head.
You think so? Yeah. You mentioned that in a previous minute.
I think so, because the way he jumps to her, quote unquote, rescue when the alarm starts going off, when she's dealing with the fire, I think it's because he's concerned for her safety and he thinks he doesn't initially know it's a fire. And even in the book, they mentioned that he thinks that it's the mass killer thing.
Totally.
They talk about it coming back up the stairs, you know, that when he says something about being watched. So all that to say, I do think that is going on in his head. And then you've got the John stuff. You have the news in the background talking about war. And, you know, I think he loses concentration, like Luke on Dagobah, you know, loses concentration and it all just goes limp.
And, well, in addition, totally. And in addition, there's the fact that he just, as we've discussed, he has no confidence in himself as Dan.
Right.
He doesn't really think that Dan is that worthwhile to anybody. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, unfortunately, he's kind of right, but that's because it's a self-fulfilling thing. He doesn't make himself worthwhile.
Sure.
He doesn't do anything that would make anybody consider him in that way. Mm-hmm. Only as Night Owl does he mm-hmm. feel... I mean, yeah, listen, he's the character. Like, people talk a lot about Watchmen and, like, how it has to do with, like, people being in costume for kinks. And, yeah, he's the character where we're talking about that.
Mm.
Like, that he's able to sexually perform when he's Night Owl or because of Night Owl things in a way he can't as Dan.
Yeah.
And, again, hopefully there is a way for him to get over that and become kind of a whole person at some point in his life going forward. But right now, yeah, Dan himself is very incomplete. And, again, he's a sad character. I mean, I said I don't like him. I like everything in the book, so I like him in that respect, but he's not a character I gravitate towards.
He's a frustrating character.
Sure, sure. Yeah. Very much so.
Yeah.
Anything else? I'm trying to see if there was anything else awesome in the book. I mean, again, this is a page that it's a lot more just kind of touching on the world stuff.
Mm.
We get to see the lead singer or one of the singers of Pale Horse on the news.
Mm. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they show them for a second. They show another Meltdowns commercial.
Yeah,
we're watching ABC, which definitely wouldn't be in a DC comic anymore.
Yeah.
So that's fun for that first scene. Yeah. Let's see. And how do they cut away? I'm trying to remember.
She's just snuggling, touching his face, and I do like the moment where she's trying to comfort him, you know, in this, embarrassing moment. And she's touching his face, his arms, and it doesn't feel like she's, like, patronizing. It comes across, I think, as genuine care. Like, the way she says, you know, we've got all the time in the world, we'll take it slow, you know, it's...
Yeah, actually, yeah, now that you say it that way, you're absolutely right. She's much more generous with it in mm-hmm. the movie than she is in the book. In the book, with the whole, I know when things aren't right.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I remembered maybe we were moving too fast, but I forgot that she does say we've got all the time in the world. So she's totally ready to be like, you know, mm-hmm. we'll still get this to happen.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. Well, that's nice.
the note I had on the all the time in the world is that, but the joke there is that they don't have all the time in the world.
Sure.
Very true.
What's happening?
Yeah. Time is around
the world.
The doomsday clock is. Hey, do you know that the doomsday clock is actually closer to midnight right now in the real world than it is in Watchmen?
Yep. Yeah. Is That's it still fun. 2.5 last time we, I think, checked?
That was the last thing I heard as well. Yeah. I'm sure that's still the case or people would be. No, wait, hold on. Is it 2 minutes to midnight now? I think it's two.
At this point, the clock hand is just spinning around in a circle.
Yeah, most recent one as of January is 2 minutes to midnight.
Okay.
Oh,
yeah,
good.
2 minutes.
How awesome.
Awesome, yeah.
Yeah, so if you were watching Watchmen and going, oh, their world is terrible, I got news for you. Oh, God. Okay, good times.
I had one quick note about the whole newscast, you know, scene that's playing out kind of in the background. I tried to pay attention to everything that was being said, and one part stuck out. And this actually was last minute, where it says one of the several helicopters brought down by what Soviet officials call at this hour are claiming what American-made shoulder-launched surface-to-air missiles. They say they intend to present proof of this allegation at the emergency session of the United Nations Security Council. And the only reason I noted that in my notes for last minute was because that exact same dialogue appears again in this minute. So they recycled the same dialogue like within 30 seconds.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, yeah.
No one's going to watch it minute by minute.
Yeah. So I just wanted to point that out.
Good times.
Anything else before we jump out of this scene and into Sing Sing prison?
No, let's get to Sing Sing. Sing Sing is just like 15 minutes away from me. It's a town over. Mm. I'm out in Croton-on-Hudson. Ossining is just the next stop on the commuter train I take every day.
Okay.
Yep. And by the way, I don't know if you've ever ridden the Hudson line of the commuter trains there. It literally goes like through Sing Sing. Like Sing Sing is on like both sides of the train.
Oh, wow.
It's very weird.
Yeah. Hmm.
So we're jumping a second in time in the movie. We're jumping like more than an issue, I believe, in the comic. Like this scene is in an entirely different issue of the book with a zillion scenes in between. And a whole article about owls.
Sure.
Which is interesting. Like you said, I mean, that's not a dig at it. It's just, you know, when you adapt a book, you have to change the stuff, move it around. But it is interesting to me how far apart these scenes are in the book, considering.
Yeah, I remember there was a big gap or change in order between Rorschach visiting Moloch and the attack on Veidt, the assassination attempt on Veidt. Like, I think they flip-flop the two, like, they change the order or something.
They're messing with the fearful symmetry.
Yeah, yeah. So we meet a big figure. He approaches Rorschach's cell and says, you know, it's been a long time, Rorschach. And we've got Danny Woodburn here playing. Which I think Danny Woodburn might be the most recognizable person in this movie.
What?
I mean, he was Mickey on Seinfeld, and he's been in like nearly 100 other movies and TVs or TV shows, and he's just very, very recognizable. I
mean, Patrick Wilson's been in a lot of stuff. I can't remember his name, Rorschach. Whatever Rorschach's real name is. I can't remember it, but he's been in a billion things. He's been in like multiple comic book things even.
That's true, yeah. I'm just saying.
Maybe you're right.
For me at the time, I think he was probably the most recognizable person, that's for sure.
Huh, all right. So let's see. This scene is relatively close to the book. I'm pretty sure if not all of the dialogue, most of the dialogue comes from the book. It just is kind of shortened, no pun intended. So that's interesting. Again,
mighty big of you.
Thank you. But again, that being said, like it's fine. It again kind of highlights to me that even when it goes exactly, it doesn't end up feeling the same. But I don't know.
It's such like a brief little snippet that we get
in this one. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
it ends with him saying it's a small world, right?
Yeah.
So
let's see, and yeah, that's we'll need to get used to the size puns. I did notice that as his two, I guess, bodyguards are flanking big figure, one of them has this skull tattoo with like wings coming out of the skull. And it struck me as I looked at it, I thought I saw it looks like a rabbit. So if you kind of look at it upside down, the skull looks like a bunny rabbit face with like the wings become like long floppy ears So wait, there you go.
Where is this? What? Who? What?
This
tattoo.
Yeah, the tattoo on the guy's arm.
That is weird.
So if you look at like the crack in the skull looks like the nose of where like a typical rabbit nose, and then the eyes. But if flip it upside down, it looks like a rabbit.
So I'm just now realizing how many things Jackie Earle Haley is in that are remakes or adaptations. Like a lot.
Yeah.
Right. Yes. So obviously Watchmen. The first thing besides Watchmen that comes to mind of him for me is Human Target, because I really liked that show.
Mm.
But again,
we just had someone else talk about that.
It was a fun show. It was a fun show. The other thing that comes to mind when I think of him, unfortunately in a much more negative way, is Nightmare on Elm Street remake, where he is a very good actor, but I think that is a terrible film. He was also in the RoboCop remake.
He was?
He's also in... Yes. Yes.
I don't remember that.
He's like a trainer slash a military guy. He ends up going up against him at one point. He was in Preacher, a comic book adaptation.
Yeah.
He was in Tick, which is both a comic book adaptation and a remake.
I like that.
He was
that
in
role.
The Dark Tower. Not in a huge, huge role, but he was in it. Also an adaptation. Like so many of the things that I know of him from are adaptations of stuff.
Hmm.
Apparently he was in Dark Shadows. I'm looking at his IMDb now. Also a remake. That's crazy. The number of them.
Yeah.
Let me slide in here. For Danny Woodburn, though, the one standout role, or actually the title of the theater play that he did with David Mamet.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I didn't know Mamet would do something titled this, but Revenge of the Space Pandas.
What?
Okay.
It's not just on Woodburn's Wikipedia page, but it's also on Mammoth's. So
that's crazy.
It can't be just someone goofing.
And I pretty hit funny. Right moment.
Wow.
Prove me wrong. Mm, prove right. Wikipedia wrong.
Oh, good times.
That's all of my notes for this one. I don't know how you guys are doing.
Yeah, I don't really think I had anything else for this minute.
Just the question of who knew Rorschach was so good with puns.
That's a good point. Yeah, they do just come right to him.
He actually, oddly enough, for a character who probably, from I would guess, disdains art, he has very artful language.
Mm.
I mean, the book very famously starts with him being. It's not pleasant imagery, but like using very metaphoric and idiomatic and evocative language in his, you know, war journal or whatever he calls it in the Rorschach journal. It's weird. It's weird how what a way he has with words.
Yeah.
Especially considering, because they also play the way he talks as very clipped and leaving out words, but the words he does use are just the right ones.
Sure. Yeah.
He's quick on his feet. Could have been if he was around today, he could have been in an improv class and he would have been at the UCB every week.
Right.
Rorschach's other life on SNL.
Yeah.
It would have been great.
Oh man.
Do you think they have Saturday Night Live in Watchmen World? I want to know who's on that show.
Hmm.
There we go.
I bet they do. Yeah. All right. Let's see. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Watchmen Minute.
Our Facebook page is at facebook.com/Watchmen Minute. And like we just were talking about, find us at the Crime Busters Listeners Society, the group on Facebook.
Yeah. You can also find us in Denver on August 18th for Movies by Minutes 2018. And you can go to moviesbyminutes.com/Denver for tickets and info. And then while you're on that site, just stay on moviesbyminutes.com and look for, I mean, over almost 100 other Movies by Minutes podcasts. So I'm sure you can
I got excited today when I saw one that's called The Minute Podcast.
Oh, okay.
I thought it was finally someone doing what's been joked about is covering, but it's not, covering all of our minutes.
Right, right.
Or a lot of, several.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not. That's something else. I've seen them on Twitter. I think they're just a separate. Yeah. Jordan, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Crackshot with a zero instead of an O. And you can find my Sailor Moon podcast at Sailor Business on Twitter. It's super fun. And you can find my work as a comic book editor all across the X-Men line and the currently running Infinity Countdown and soon to be coming Infinity Wars series.
Oh. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Looking forward to that then.
And just so you know, I just looked up Saturday Night Live for 1986. So I'm assuming Dana Carvey would have played Rorschach in sketches every once in a while. John Lovitz as Night Owl sounds perfect. Phil Hartman as Dr. Manhattan.
He's good with the makeup. I was thinking Adrian.
Oh, but... yeah. You think so? Yeah, that's true. He could do Adrian, but then I guess maybe then you got either Dennis Miller or Kevin Nealon as Dr. Manhattan. I'm not sure which one.
Kevin Nealon probably.
I agree, but Dennis Miller as Dr. Manhattan would be kind of funny. That would be pretty enjoyable.
Okay.
And I'm going to go with Jan Hooks as Silk Spectre. I think that'd be very fun all around. So. There you go.
Well done. We should have been doing a lot more weird and random fan casting.
Well, that's when they do sketches in the Watchmen universe about people who are real.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go.
Man. So meta.
Good times.
Yeah.
Okay, Jordan, you can hopefully make us back for one last minute tomorrow.
Just one. Just one more.
Minute 115.
Last one.
Wow, that'd be great. Okay, so this has been Minute 114. We'll see you tomorrow. Until then, who watches The Watchmen? We do.
We do.
1 minute at a time.
Watchmen are over.